Radio 76 proudly presents the 515 Show with your host, John Sarver. Who's at the 515 door today?
I'm telling you, we've been looking really forward to having the next guest with us, only because we admired the work that she's done. We know kind of how to do things that she does, and we do them poorly. We do. Sue does a hell of a job, and that's the one thing we do. We walk a weird line here, but it is a tough gig in 2021 to be a photographer. It just is. There's a lot of people out there who think they have talent. There's a lot of people, you know, who don't, frankly. You know, they know how to point and shoot. And now with everybody with camera phones and stuff like that, they think they're photographers. And there's some nice stuff that we've seen people do. But nothing like our next guest, Jen Beagle from Chick's Eye View Photography. Hiya, Jen. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
Dandy. All right, so let's get it off right off the bat. So you, too, are thinking of buying Milan Dragway?
Yeah, not so much. I wish. I only wish.
Yeah.
They have a saying that the quickest way to become a millionaire as a photographer is to start off as a billionaire, so.
Yeah. You know, that's good. How long have you been in doing the photography?
This will be my sixth season, race season.
You've only done this six times?
Six seasons?
I mean, six seasons, yes.
Yes.
Wow. All right, so not a lot of photographers come right up and say, okay, you know, I really want to go to drag strips and take pictures of cars. What got you into it?
It was 2015. Was at the Meltdown Drags in Byron, Illinois with some friends, and one of those friends happens to be a phenomenal photographer from the West Coast, and he was like, he just handed me a camera and was like, here, come on. And we went and we stood on the line and just, I think we were there for 10, 12 hours just clicking and shooting and having a great time, and I was hooked.
So they always remember the first one. What was the camera they gave you?
It was a Nikon.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a Canon girl, so.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, I don't think they handed you a Mark whatever nowadays.
Or,
You know, I mean, what equipment do you take with you when you go to the track? Do you bring everything or you go, all right, today I feel like this?
I usually bring everything. You never know the day is going to unfold. I really enjoy doing the on the starting line stuff and, you know, up at the top end, but I also love going around doing, you know, candid stuff in the pits. And so you always need kind of different lenses and things for the different areas and the different lengths that you're shooting from, the different distances.
Because, you know, I was going to say that is the one thing that you can tell a Jen Beagle shot a mile away from, because there's a lot of photographers out there, and we walk a weird line on this one, but you can tell your shots because you understand depth of field. You know, I rarely see other people, it's everything looks pretty two-dimensional, you know, but your stuff has that certain, you know it's you. You know it's you, good God.
I like to take kind of a unique perspective and angles when I'm shooting. I don't like to do just kind of what the average Joe does. I kind of walk my own path, and it's seemed to be received very well so far in the racing community. So
yeah, I was going to say, for folks who don't know, back in the day, you know, you used to have at least one track photographer, and that was either paid by the track itself, or you'd want to have a picture of your car. And these photographers would do some incredible stuff. If you see the things that came out of Lions Drag Strip back in the day, it was phenomenal. You'd want to go home with a souvenir like that, you know. But now with everybody, like we were talking about in the warm up, you know, everybody that's got a an Apple phone.
Yeah.
Dad, it sounds like we're 40. I mean, yeah, an iPhone or something like that, they think, eh, I guess that's good enough. I mean, there's a terrific difference, isn't there, Jen?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think as a photographer, one of, I can say for many photographers, one of our biggest pet peeves is people saying, hey, look at this really cool picture I took with my phone. And it's kind of like, great, that's a great picture. And, you know, it just, it's become more and more difficult because of the technology to have a fighting chance and to have a success in any form of photography, really, nowadays.
Yeah, because almost you take a look at anything that was, again, you always want one good track photographer. But back in the day, they would stand in one place. They would stand right at the tree, you know, and hopefully they would, you know, get a certain spot of you leaving, and there you go. When you say you look at different angles and stuff, I mean, do you go to the drag strip and you go, you immediately go, okay, I'm going to stand here, 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 here? Or does it just develop it as the day goes along?
It just kind of develops as the day goes on. I just kind of get into my own zone, and wherever my creativity, wherever the day takes me is where I go. I try to make a very conscious effort to get a shot of what, at least one shot of every car on the track.
Wow.
But there's one of me, and sometimes there's, you know, 500-600 of them, so it's not always 100% possible, but I do my best.
Yeah, I was going to say, that can't be fun. When you're lining up for a shot, then all of a sudden you see an iPhone next to you, and you kind of go, do you ever, like, elbow them out of the way?
I don't necessarily elbow them out of the way, but there are specific places where, as a credentialed media personnel, you can and can't go. And if you're not credentialed and you got an iPhone and you're in my way, well, I'm going to have to ask you to nicely move.
Have you ever gotten into a confrontation?
I don't know about confrontation, but, you know, I have a couple times been like, hey, you want to get off the wall so that we can do our jobs, or can you please take your phone to the other side of the media fence where you can take pictures from there? But I don't know necessarily. A lot of tracks are usually, most of the tracks I've been to are really good at making it very clear where, like, pedestrians could go, where media can go. So, and they have, you know, security on the grounds so that you can, you know, say, hey.
Yeah, but who can be mad at Jen Beagle?
You know? I can give you two phone numbers.
How does that work? I mean, what tracks have, you know, media credentials in Michigan?
It's just the 131. They have a great media team over there. I think her name is Stephanie. She's the one, you know, I plan on going out there. I contact a couple weeks before and say, hey, you know, XYZ group is running out there. They want me to shoot for them. And she's like, fine. And we go from there. I do shoot for Gasser magazine. So typically when I go to any of the nostalgia races or anything, I'm shooting for them. And I do have media credentials for them.
Has anybody ever said no to Jen Beagle?
Yeah, a couple times in the beginning. There's been a couple, we don't know you, and there's just too much on the line right now. Like, we have too much media. So I've gone and kind of just done my own thing. Shot from the bleachers. There's an amazing photographer. His name is Chuck Clark. His panning photography is photography goals. He will sit in the middle of the bleachers and take pictures of cars as they come by, and they're just phenomenal. So I've tried, you know, I've done panning stuff from the bleachers and just kind of done my own thing if there's no media credentials available.
You know, how do they say that there's too much media? I mean, are we talking about at a drag strip?
Yeah, it could, the line can get pretty packed.
I mean, I can't, with credentialed people?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow, I'm impressed.
It's a dog-eat-dog world out there sometimes.
Yeah, but I've never ever heard of that before. You know, because it's like, come one, come all, go. I mean, there's you, there's David, there's April, but it almost seems like, do you guys run into each other, or do you kind of go, this is kind of where I like to go, you can stay over there, etc.?
I think, you know, especially the locals, like the local photographers around here, we all know each other. We all have a great professional courtesy for each other, you know. If there's one on one side of the track, one of us, you know, we'll go to the other side of the track, or we'll go, you know, 50, 60 feet behind the photographer who's already there. And you just kind of give yourself professional courtesy and space, and it all tends to work out.
Did you ever get to the shot that you just missed? They went, damn it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Every track photographer has the shot they miss. So
and that one for you was what?
There's been a couple. There was in Union Grove, I was doing a no prep, covering a no prep race, and yeah. One of the guys' cars, a little gasket snapped off, and the whole car went up in flames at the top end, and I had already put my camera down, and this guy actually ended up jumping, like, bailing out of his car at about 100 miles an hour because he couldn't breathe, the car wasn't stopping, brake lines and everything were all melted down, and there's video, and there's pictures of him jumping out of his car and then chasing his car down the track to hit the emergency shutoff in the back.
So, could you ask him for take two?
I don't know if he would have been keen on that.
Yeah, things not to say to somebody, you know,
right.
And especially for you, because that's got to be rough. I mean, here you are, like this world-renowned chef, and people are showing you their barbecued hamburger that's just beat the heavens, and they go, "What do you think?" You know, I mean, when people show you their pictures. You know, I mean, do they come up to you and ask you for a critique, or are they, you know, look at this, and you kind of go, uh-huh?
Not so much like people with their cell phones, and I mean, there is kind of a courtesy there, but, you know, we'll... Between the photographers, if there's something happens, if something, God forbid, blows up or something, you know, someone pulls, you know, a wheel stand down to the 300 feet and we all kind of pass each other's cameras around like, oh, look what you look at. Look at the angle I got. Look at the shot I got. Look at what I got. So, but that's more of a, you know, like a professional excitement. Like we all share like our shots and show each other our cameras and our screens.
I mean, what do they do for holidays with you? I mean, do you go to, like, family and they go, look at this great shot I got of the sunset?
No. not really. My boyfriend does have a large, large family, so most times we'll set something up where we just do big family pictures, but
and who gets nothing. To take them?
Well, yours truly, of
yeah,
course.
I was going to say, it's one of those things where they go, oh, we got to get a picture of this. Where's Jen? Somebody get Jen. Even though Jen is like, in you know, using her third Dr. Pepper and going, I really don't want to take a picture today.
I will always take a picture. I have a shirt that says, I'm not going if I can't bring my camera.
Really? I mean, you're 24/7?
Yeah. I love my photography. As you know, I've recently gotten into
the
equestrian world of photography, which has been absolutely eye-opening, and it's been an amazing experience. But I'm always up for
a photo,
an event, or a photo shoot, or
I mean, you have to have an automotive background or something for you to go to a drag strip and know exactly, ooh, this is going to be good. You know, what is it?
For me, I guess it's just instinctual. I don't know. It's just kind of where my feelings and my creativity takes me, and I'll watch the bulbs drop with one eye, and I got the other eye in the camera, and do what I can.
Because I was going to say, nobody just like all of a sudden shows up to a drag strip and says, I've never seen one of these things before, but I got my camera kit with me, so let's go. I mean, you just, the first time you went there 6 years ago or six seasons ago, you went, this looks colorful. I'll take a picture or two. I mean,
like I said, my friend was like, here, come on. And he handed me one of his spare cameras, and we started shooting. And, you know, he was kind of helping me along the way, because I had absolutely no idea what I was doing at that point. But he was kind of like, here you go, and have fun. You could take the card home and do whatever you want with them.
Well, obviously, you were good enough to drop a Nikon and say, oh my God, I'd never have one of these things in my hand, right?
I can't say that, but
I mean, being a Canon kid, you gotta, like, you know, be loyal to the brand.
Yeah, I am very loyal to my Canon. I do love my Canon brand.
I was going to say, what's your weapon of choice when you go out?
Right now, I have a 5D, 5D Mark IV, which is basically the most recent of the recent in the Mark series, and I absolutely love it. And then, of course, the standard 70 200 millimeter, the big white lens that everybody who has a Canon has.
That's it?
I mean, I have a couple other lenses, but they're just, you know, I have a 24-135 Tamron. I have your standard 50 millimeter portrait lens. I don't really... I have a Mark 6D that I use for, like, super low light, like, dark stuff, but I usually make do with my Mark 4.
All right, so if you had one lens to take, what would you take?
Oh, my 7200.
And that's going to be, okay.
And that's it.
How big
it's the most versatile. It's the most utilized sports lens in the world.
And it looks cool.
it looks cool.
You know, how big of a card do you take with you when you go?
I have a whole, like, booklet. I usually have about 6 batteries, and I have 3 64 gig cards.
And do you max them out normally, or?
It depends on the event. Depends on how long. If it's a one-day event, I won't fill up one card. But, I mean, if it's a whole weekend event, like I do Rock and Race out in Ohio, which is one of my absolute favorite races. It's a three-day, it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday event, and I'll fill up cards left and right on that.
Wow. And then, you know, you were saying that's your favorite event. Of all the tracks that you shot at, which one is the most challenging to shoot in?
Wrigley was a challenge.
Because?
They have metal guardrails. And if you're a track photographer and you have a brain in your head, you never, ever want to shoot off a metal metal guardrails. Cars tend to go right through those.
Yeah, and guess who's on the other side? Jen Beagle.
Okay. So that, you know, was quite a little bit of a challenge. But for the most part, it's...
Yeah.
Most tracks are set up the same when it comes to being able to shoot.
I mean, they're all good tracks, and they're all like your kids, you know, so you don't have one better than the other. But is there anyone easier to shoot at?
131 is really nice to shoot at, just the way that the track's set, the way it faces, the way they have the tower, and it shades over the starting line most of the day. Yeah. So you're not, like, dying in the heat. And then I love Dragway 42. It's just beautiful out there. They've done such an amazing job with that track. And it is just a blast to shoot at. The way they have the bleachers set up, they're kind of dug into the hills that are on each side of the track, and you can get amazing shots from the starting line, but you can get amazing shots from anywhere.
All right. I mean, we're supposed to talk to the fine friends at 42, and because it just so many people rave about that. You know,
it's a
beautiful
track.
Have you ever gone to Summit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think?
I think that's a great track. I think that...
I mean, as opposed to saying, what do you think? It's a hell of a track. I hate it. I'll never go back to that dump again. Yeah, we didn't mean to go that way, but I mean to shoot at.
Yeah, I've done a couple events there. I did the Pontiac Nationals a couple of years ago. I actually did some work for the Colettas year before last.
Doing what?
Just doing some kind of freelance private work for them. They had a one-off sponsorship, and they wanted to bring in somebody to just kind of cover the day and give the sponsor some, like, extra attention, I guess. So they asked me to come in, and I kind of did some following everybody and, you know, taking some shots of the car, of Doug's car with the sponsorship laid out on it. And so, yeah, I've been out there a couple times.
How does that work? Doug just calls you up and says, hey, Jen, doing anything Thursday?
No, a very good friend of mine is a part of their hospitality crew. And I guess she overheard them saying they were looking for someone. And she said, hey, I happen to know somebody. And so she kind of third party set it up, and I showed up and took pictures.
The Colettas have a hospitality crew?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, there's a whole hospitality tent, and they feed you, and oh yeah. I mean, I don't know how it's differed now because of the whole COVID thing, but most big, the Schumachers have it, the Forces have one. Most big teams have hospitality, like, areas, and they'll do, like, buffet lunches and meet and greets with all the drivers. And
these are Coletta's Coletta employees? Wow.
Well, I mean, for Coletta, yeah.
Yeah,
Coletta,
right, yeah.
Will have their own
most impressive
area.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we should almost go backward. And, you know, obviously the phone is ringing off the hook for Jen Beagle, like Chick's Eye View Photography. But how, I mean, you just don't show up at La Pierre, right? I mean, do people call you or you go, I'm not doing nothing today?
I mean, I do have a schedule, per se. I know most of the races for the season that I'll be at. Sometimes I'll, you know, have something come up. I mean, unfortunately, with the whole Milan thing, half my season has disappeared.
Yeah. You and many, many other people.
Yeah, unfortunately. But, yeah, I kind of, as the schedules are released, I'm asked to attend this or, you know, go to that. Or I know that you talked to Lewis a couple weeks ago, and we're starting the...
Lewis Caravel?
Yes. Yep. Caravelle. We're starting the Lake Street cruising every third Wednesday of the month, starting tomorrow.
Wow, actually, you're doing the week one, not just the big Motor Fest, but you're doing the
I sponsor the whole... Yep, I do the whole shebang, all of them.
Wow, nice.
Yep, yep.
All right, so then what do you do with those pictures?
Well, this year we're going to do something a little bit different. If anybody wants to purchase a picture of their vehicle from the car show, we're going to just ask for donations, and then we're going to take those donations and put them back into the community somehow.
Okay.
So we're thinking... I'm thinking taking the donations, and we're going to pay off overdue balances for kids in elementary schools who have overdue lunch balances.
Wow, the power of photography. Nice. No, hey, that's a great idea.
Yeah, the Lake Street Cruisin' is such a big community event, and the community itself has done so much to make it happen that we feel like we should some way put back into the community. So this is kind of a little way that, my little way of putting back and helping out.
I would say a nice big way in doing so. I think it's fabulous. I mean, so now when you go to, like, say, good God. What's open anymore? If you go to an Ubley, if you go to a Northern, if you go to a track, you take pictures of cars, then what happens? I mean, do you put on Facebook, look, folks, I was at this place, I got pictures about everybody, you want a shot? Get a hold of
them? It's a lot about networking. I think that I'm a pretty social person, and I think that's a part of how I've gotten as far as I have in, you know, just the short time that I've been doing this is a lot of networking. And, you know, that's one of the reasons I walk around the pits, I talk to the drivers, I get to know crews, the staff at the tracks, and, you know, just pass my card around, and, you know, people come up and be like, hey, I saw you, you know, at the top end, and my chutes were out perfect, and did you get a shot of my car? And I'll be like, yeah, sure, here's my card. Hop online in a couple days and let me know what you want.
Yeah, because how do you do, because in a digital age, that's rough. Because, I mean, even with watermarking, there's ways to get around it. You know, so how do you do that? When somebody said, did you get a picture of my GTO today over at 131, you know, and you say, yeah, and then you give him the card, and then he does what? Then it's like, here's my name, this is my car, can you send me, I mean, what do you do, send proofs? How do you do that?
Yeah, I'll send proofs, and there's ways that you can watermark them, and you can make it, you can send them a low resolution file, so it's a really small file, so if they wanted to try to take it and print it or blow it up or something, it would just look like absolute garbage.
And you'd look like a piker. I mean, really, of all people, who wants to put the haze on Jen Beagle, of all people? You know,
yeah,
and a question that we have here from the CKWI Radio 76 hotline. Thanks, Alan. Dave, okay, don't mind answering a question, Jen?
Mm-mm.
Okay, here we go. From George, and I'm sorry, George, I don't, I'd love to be able to pronounce your name, but I'm going to hack the heavens out of that. from Tennyson, New Hampshire, wants to know, now here's a cute question, is Jen Beagle your pro name?
That is my real name, Jennifer Beagle.
Really? Okay.
Yep.
It made sense to me. And then when I wrote that, or when I read that, I was like, you know what? Yeah, I guess that would, yeah, I guess so, could be, you know? I mean, with a bunch of little beagles at home, probably heard that several times.
That's my birth certificate.
That's awesome. I mean, really, talk about a hook name. You know, I mean, you're not going to forget that. You know?
No.
It's phenomenal. Talk about which is, now in the digital realm of photography, how much time do you spend at the computer with the photos?
Again, it depends on the event. I know that, and I always tell, you know, people if they ask, you know, did I get this car? Did you get that car? I typically only post maybe 10% of what I shoot, because in this day of age, people don't have the attention span. You're not going to go through 600 pictures to see if someone got a picture of your car or your friend's car. So I always tell people, you know, I put up maybe 10% of what I shoot. If you don't see your car, give me, you know, send me an email, send me a message, and I can, you know, go through my stuff and pull what I have to show you.
Yeah, that's because everybody is going, you know, that's right. If we only seen this bit, it's like, oh, doggone, she missed my car. Chances are good. That's not true.
Right.
That you have some, I mean, how big is your hard drive at home?
I have a 5 terabyte that's not quite full yet.
Yeah,
but it's getting there.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you getting the warnings yet? I mean, what do you obviously you archive all your photos and stuff. I mean, how does that? Man, if somebody goes, look, did you get my stuff back in 2019? I think you're at Summit, and did you get my Buick Grand Sport?
I always ask people to send me a picture of their car.
Yeah, but boy, that's a lot.
Especially when I do the no prep and the grudge race and the, you know, no ET guys. Hey, did you get a picture of my red fox body?
Yeah, really, black Camaro. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So I always ask, just send me a picture of the car if you want me to go through my you know, backups and everything to see if I have it.
Oh, my God. That would take you, well, what, 2 days, 3 days to find one blue fox body? You know,
well, I mean, it depends if it's on. I'm a pretty organized person, so if they could tell me what race it was, I mean, I can just go into, you know, the 2019, you know, Anarchy No Prep June race, and I could pull up the pictures from that specific race.
And then here comes the accolades and the big fat check. Thank you, Jen Beagle, for pulling that one out.
Almost.
I mean, has anybody, you know, walking around the pits and stuff that you're lining up for a shot, has anybody given you any grief?
No. There are some classes that, you know, if you're taking pictures in the pits and they have the hoods off their cars or something, they don't want their setups being photographed, which I can totally get and respect, and I just kind of move on and do something else.
I mean, did you learn the hard way?
No, I just, a lot of times I ask, you know, hey, you mind, or, you know, I always, if I don't know the people, I always, hey, can I shoot your car? Do you mind if I take a couple shots? And 99% of the time, they're like, yeah, no, go for it.
But there's that one time that they told the great Jen Beagle no?
Yeah, I'd rather not have pictures of the engine. Don't take pictures of the motor.
Oh, okay. Too bad I did already. Next! And I just gave it to the guy down the street there. Now he knows that you're running, you know? That's wild, man, because you do see that for people who don't know. There's folks that will put drapery over their rear tires, you know. I mean, there's some folks that are real, you know, they don't want to give any advantage to the competitor, even though, chances are good they guess what you got. You know, I mean,
yeah.
it is kind of...
The drapery over the rear tires is more keep the sun off.
Yeah,
keep it cool.
Yeah.
So that the air doesn't expand or contract in the tire, the pressure.
Did you ever get... Oh, I'm sorry, Jen.
No.
I mean, we're looking at the, as you were talking about, you know, the expanding of the tire and stuff. We're thinking about the wrinkle walls and everything that's right there on the burnout box and stuff. Did you ever get the perfect picture?
I mean, all my pictures are perfect. No, I'm kidding. I think that my greatest catch, my greatest moment. Was at 131 a couple years ago, the Lawsons had two funny cars, and they were pulling up. They knew the burnouts. They backed up. They staged. I chose to shoot the funny car that was closest to me, which was their green one, and the lights dropped, he hit the throttle, and the whole car just exploded right at the starting line. And I got, and just from the pure force of the explosion, the car actually moved forward to about maybe 5 feet. It finally stopped about 5 feet from where I was standing, and I got the whole series of the car exploding. It was... The impact of the explosion was so intense, it actually flipped the cars. Because the funny car, you know how the whole body's closed down?
Yeah.
It actually flipped the body up, and then the body slammed back down. And I think that was one of my best best.
Wow. And it's one of those things where you go home and you look at it and you go, yes.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, always hate to see it happen. Especially the Lawsons. They're a great, great family. But when you do get those shots and that they're kind of once in a lifetime, you do get, you know, the hair standing up on the back of your neck, for sure.
Have you ever taken a shot and you went, okay, that's cool. And then you got it home and you went, whoa, I didn't know I got that.
I mean, that's kind of what keeps me going. Phil Landrum, he has the slate gray and orange funny car was running. That used to be a bright orange funny car. And it's called Easy Money. And I took a picture at Onondaga a couple years ago, and it wasn't anything special. It was just a picture that I shot. I didn't know, you know. And it was a picture of the back of a girl. She was wearing the Easy Money shirt. She had a phone that she was videotaping, and you can see Phil's car, funny car, going down the track. And I posted it, and he called me, and he was like, I have to have this picture. You don't understand. Like, this picture, that's my daughter. She came with me, you know, so many years ago to the West Coast to pick up the chassis for this car. She's never seen the car run until, like, that was the first time she'd ever seen the car run. She had flown in from California that morning to surprise him because they knew that the car was going to run for the first time that weekend. He's like, this picture is incredible. Like, you have no idea what it means to us. And, you know, it was just like a nice little candid shot that I took. But it ended up being something
phenomenal.
Super phenomenal to the person that it belonged to.
Yeah, and, you know, we bumped into him at Mid-Michigan. Nice guy.
He's wonderful. I love him to death.
But then again, so are a lot of those Funny Car Chaos guys, too. Have you ever gone, what was the farthest you've ever gone? Because I was going to say, a lot of the Funny Car guys now, because of the Milan thing, are like all over the place. I mean, do you travel, or do you just try to keep it around here?
Yeah, I travel. I'm actually for Memorial Day weekend going out to Union Grove in Wisconsin.
Woohoo!
Yep.
Nice.
We go to 41 every once in a while. I do the US 41 drags out there, which is a nostalgia party. It's just, there's no schedule. There's no, you just bring a nostalgia car out and you just have fun all weekend, and you race it, test and tune. You can, you know, line up with buddies and grudge race, and it's a great event. And then, like I said, I go out to Rock and Race, which is out in Ohio. I'm going down to Indy this year to do a nostalgia event for Gasser Magazine. So, yeah, I do a little bit of traveling here and there.
I mean, the easiest ones to shoot, nostalgia drags or heads up?
Easiest? Nostalgia, for sure.
Easy because?
They're just the contrast, I think, of the cars, the colors, the names, the paint jobs. They're just always so fun and so photogenic, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly where we're going with it, because we've told people a million times, please put a name on your car, because just like we talked about before, it's hell when you're a broadcaster and, you know, coming up to the line right now, black Camaro, blue Fox body, coming up to the line again, there's a green Camaro, blue Fox body. You know, it's the same thing, but these guys have names and all kinds of color schemes and all kinds. They don't have to do the monochromatic kind of thing.
And right.
For you, that's got to be, because, man, those pictures jump, you know, right out
at the cars.
Yeah. But, you know, quickly, before we want to make sure that we touch on your new endeavor with the horses.
Yes.
When did that come about?
So,
you weren't busy enough?
Right. Like I said, you know, I try to give back to the community. I try to do some, you know, nonprofit, help out nonprofits here and there. And I have a friend who runs the Farmyard Rescue and Rehab, which is actually out of Milan. And they were having an Easter event. Their photographer last minute bailed out on them. And they called me and was like, hey, can you help us out? And I was like, sure, I don't have anything going. So I was taking pictures, and there was a couple horses on the property, and they were running around and took a couple pictures, and then those pictures got to someone who got to someone who got to someone, and next thing I know, a couple weeks later, I'm in Indiana taking pictures of million-dollar horses and loving every minute of it.
Yeah, because now you have a totally different, I was going to say a totally different animal to shoot, but you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can see some of the classic horse poses and stuff. And thankfully, when they gallop and things, it's not as crazy as somebody breaking out of the box or something. But
right.
The amazing thing that you can do with sunlight in horses is unreal.
Yeah.
As you here, let me tell you something you don't know, okay? However, you know, are you thinking about 50-50ing this? Is this just for, you know, this little piece? Are we going to stay with cars?
I am open to anything and everything. Like I said, I love my photography. I grew up with horses, so having, you know, one of the things that I grew up with and my photography mixed together is phenomenal. But I also love my racers. I love my going down to the, you know, drag strip on a Saturday afternoon and just sitting there and just taking pictures and, you know, having a blast with all the racers. So I'm going to try and keep it as 50-50 as possible, but there's a lot more money in the horses.
I was going to say. Yeah. You know,
that's what it really, like I said, you know, best way to become a millionaire is to be a billionaire. A photographer, so it's a lot of the times when you know the photographers, any photographer is at a drag strip, we're there on a freelance basis. So I mean, and I don't know that a lot of people really fully understand the like what is behind that, but I mean, the gear, the travel, it's all on us, and
yeah,
the only way for us to recoup it is if we sell our pictures. So going into the horse thing, it's, well, you're paying me.
Yeah, before you go.
And then you're going to pay me for the pictures, so.
Yeah, by the time they get done paying your plane ticket, you know, and your entourage and your, you know, rental car, yeah, okay. You're glad to be there at the farm.
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit different.
You know what, Alan is raising his hand again, and I know what he's going to ask. All right, so if you grew up with horses, what did you grow up with?
My family actually co-founded the country's now largest 501c3 horse rescue. It's called Red Wings Horse Sanctuary. It's out of California. We started in 96, I think it was, in Carmel Valley.
Okay.
And we have everything, you name it, we probably have it or have had it. We had a couple horses from the Budweiser Farms. We've had a couple horses from the Primran Ranches out of Canada. We've had BLM Mustangs and Burros. Average 2 to 250 head of any kind of equine you can imagine.
Wow. And how old were you at this time?
When we started, I was 4th, 5th grade, 6th grade.
Wow. And by the way, Jen, can you grab a couple bales of hay on your way out? Thanks.
Right, exactly.
Oh, man. So a cannon is a little bit lighter than a couple buckets of feed, I would assume.
Absolutely.
Jen,
absolutely.
What didn't we not cover in the next 1 minute?
I don't know.
All right. See, is it a wonderful question? Because by the time you think of something, it's already 45.
It's already open. Yep.
We like how your mind works. All right. So if somebody wants to get a hold of you, Jen, how do they do it?
Easiest way is Facebook, a Chick's Eye View. It's there. It's been there forever. You can instant message me on there, my contact information, email, chickseyeview@gmail.com.
Yeah, and if you want to see some of her work, I assume the same place?
Absolutely.
Wow, an amazing thing. The Jen Beagle Kids, it's like have lens will travel, you know? And if you've ever seen any of their stuff, you'll move away from your iPhone taking a picture and actually take a look at photography. There's a huge difference between the two. The picture, you go, yeah, that's cool. Photography, you stare at for a while because there's so much that was captured, and that can only be done by somebody who's got a pro eye like Jen Beagle did here. Jen, thanks an awful lot for being with us. Come back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We'd love to have you back.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you what, hang on the line for just a minute. We want to talk to you, but right now we went a little bit over, and right now we want to say to the CKIW Radio 76 affiliates down the line, we're going to make it up here on the Detroit Sports Authority tonight, so worry not. But what you can worry about is Steppenwolf and Born to Be Wild here on your home of high performance hits of the 60s and 70s, CKIW. Radio 76.